Committee, I'd like to call the 20th at 8:35 a.m., Inauguration Day. Have Senator Terry with us, Senator Huggins with us, Senator French with us, Senator Guest online, and I'm Senator Seekins. So we're all here this morning. I was quite impressed with the new software that the clerk's office has there this morning. That'll make it very easy for us to locate what we said or we didn't say from time to time. And it was kind of interesting this morning to watch the delegation. I was wondering where in the snow and cold the Alaska folks were standing out in front of the Capitol building. But a lot of pomp and circumstances, and I had a front row seat, and it was warm, so. We're going to resume this morning with Senate Bill 56. Senator Guest, can you hear us this morning?
Yes, I can, thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Terry.
I move the adoption of the I version of the bill, /I. It contains the three amendments on page 2, 3, and 4 that were adopted by the committee. And we have incorporated our changes as they were suggested here without any change to punctuation or anything of that nature.
Let's move the, and it's a CS for Senate Bill 56, /I. It's been moved by Senator Terry as our working document today. Is there any objection? Senator Guest, any objection?
No, thank you.
Hearing none, we'll continue with that draft. Senator Terry.
And, Mr. Chairman, I realized too late in the day to have it incorporated into this CS, but you'll notice that the Section 34 at the very end, the effective date is not until July 1st. And I'm just wondering if we should make that a little sooner, if we think that this change or the questioning in the system is going to allow people who are sentenced to make challenges and we're moving to a new system. I would think that we just should do that more quickly. So I would like to move an immediate effective date that would replace Section 34.
Senator Terry has made a motion to amend this version, Section 34, to make the effective date immediately upon passage into law. Is there objection? Hearing none and seeing none, that is Amendment Number 4, I believe.
And then, Mr. Chairman, if members of the committee have questions.
Is adopted, I should say, for the record.
The text of the CS, the next item that we had discussed, is a letter of intent. There is a proposed letter. There's conversations back and forth, and this is the language that I thought, you know, would get my support. So I would move the January 17th, 2005, letter of intent be adopted.
Is there objection to the adoption of the letter of intent? Hearing none, seeing none, it's adopted. We did.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
Thanks. If we can just go back to one amendment we adopted for today's CS, on page 2, the amendment regarding the composite sentence of less than 2 years to serve. I was, I guess, a little bit asleep at the switch yesterday, but what I wanted to preserve was the ability of a judge to impose a periodic sentence for a 2-year sentence. And because that's kind of the benchmark for a second C felony. And I think what we've done is made that out of reach by a day.
So you wanted to see that?
I would change of less to no more. And that way it could be a 2-year, you know, it would stop at 2 years, and a 2-year and a day sentence would be too much. That is, you could not get a periodic sentence for a sentence of 2 years and a day, but you could get one for for a two-year sentence flat.
So that could read...
2 years or less.
I would just say of a sentence no more than...
2 years or less?
2 years or less, or you can just change it to no more than 2 years to serve. So we could change the words of less to no more. And so we'd say receives a composite sentence of no more than 2 years to serve. I'll leave it to the committee's...
Is there any preference, 2 years or less, or no more than 2 years? Is there, from a construction standpoint, Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I think if Senator French just moves it conceptually, the drafter can use
make
that.
It. Yep. That's fine. Conceptual amendment. The idea being that it's the gate slammed shut at 2 years and a day. That is, a 2 year sentence is available for a periodic sentence, 2 years and a day is not.
Okay. Is there objection to that? Hearing none? Seeing none? That'll be adopted as amendment number 5. Other discussion on the body of the bill? We did have one lady in Fairbanks who I don't know how we missed her, but she wanted to testify. Mrs. Rogers, is she online this morning?
She's not.
I wanted to make sure that we gave everyone the opportunity. I don't know how we missed her, but we must have because she called my office, and I wanted to correct that oversight if we could. We've now moved pretty much through the version of that we're looking at with I. Are there any further proposed amendments to this version? Seeing none and hearing none, I think we should discuss. The next thing I'd like to discuss is fiscal notes. There has been some discussion on fiscal notes, and looking at this myself, I have prepared, and Heather could provide for the members of the, and we do have Linda Wilson online for questions from the Public Defender's Office, if anyone has questions. I just want to make you aware of that. Would you give those out, Heather? With some discussion, taking a look at fiscal notes just with staff and with members of the administration, and one of the things that we did get fiscal notes from the office of the Department of Law. We got some from Department of Corrections, one from Department of Corrections. We also had a discussion with the administration.
Sorry, these are separate fiscal notes?
Yes. Do you have those?
Looking right now. Oh, yes. I have one from Department of Law, and I have our Judiciary Committee. I don't know if
one
I have
from
the
Department of Corrections. And had some discussion from the members of the Public Defender's Office that they felt that a zero fiscal note would not be appropriate because there may be constitutional challenges. I thought during the text of our discussion that we pretty much went over that topic, that it was pretty much part of the record. I thought that we did not feel that there were any constitutional violations, and I'm not sure exactly how we've got there. And maybe Linda, if you'd like to express to us your viewpoint as to why you think that there may be a large fiscal note that would attach to this bill. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Right ahead. If you put yourself on the record. We can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep trying to get it off hands-free. Good morning. This is Linda Wilson, Deputy Director of the Public Defender Agency. On your question about the fiscal notes and the constitutionality, the testimony from law that they don't believe or within the committee that there isn't any constitutional violation is certainly their opinion. That does not prevent litigation, however. There will certainly be challenges to the constitutionality of this Blakely fix. the areas that we see that will be ripe for challenging. And again, it will be the court that will decide whether or not it's constitutional or not. We can all predict what we think, but what we do is represent individual clients who make those challenges, and we foresee that there will be challenges. The challenges would likely be to the right to a grand jury. In Section 1 of the bill, I haven't seen the revised draft, but that takes away the right to a grand jury on the aggravators. That's probably going to be litigated. There was language in the Blakely decision that addressed the grand jury, and we certainly, in our Constitution, have a right to a grand jury. So I think that will be litigated. The disparity within the range. The ranges are not as narrow as possibly they could be. In some of them, there are 5, 10 years. There may be challenges to equal protection for a disparity within the range, especially when you take away the right to appeal within the range. There may be merit appeal challenges to on an equal protection basis if there's disparity. And then lastly, I think there are going to be more jury trials. I think you're going to have jury trials on the aggravators. I think more cases are going to go to trial. I think we're also going to see, because of this range, we are going to see more sentences with probationary time, where before you might have gotten a specific sentence because the presumptive term was a specific term. Now there's going to be a range if this bill passes, and as a result of that, you're going to see more people put on probation because that sentence within the range may very well encourage a judge to give probation time, where before they would not have. Under the old system, there might have been just a specific presumptive term with no probation. In fact, I think Senator French mentioned that yesterday with an example of a 5-year sentence that was a presumptive term. With more people put on probation, there are a percentage of those that are going to violate probation, and that's going to create more petitions to revoke probation. And of course, as we all know, the Public Defender Agency represents the large bulk of those types of cases. So we are going to see an increase in that. So those are sort of the primary areas that we see. I think there are also going to be challenges to the and again, I don't have a specific section in the revised bill, but it is the portion of the bill that eliminates some of the prior conviction-based aggravators from a right to a jury trial. I believe that were mentioned in there were 8 of them. And again, I can't jump to the page or the section. But it was, here it is. It was old Section 21 in the first draft. So there's under 1255-155F, in the bill it lists C7, 8, 12, 15, 19, 20, 21, and 31. Frank testified about this the first day, that there's going to be challenges to that about whether or not those are appropriately categorized as prior convictions, because some of them require additional facts that I'm sure is going to be litigated, that those additional facts need to be approved to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. So whether the question isn't whether or not they're going to withstand the challenge, from our perspective and a fiscal perspective, is there going to be a challenge? Yes, we think there will be.
Secretary,
Mr. Chairman, there are certain things that when any piece of legislation is passed that it, potential cost to government. It's the cost of doing business. If I pass a piece of legislation, might seem completely innocuous. It may trigger a redrafting of regulations. The regulations go out, there's public comment. It's a new package of regulations, somebody might challenge them. Their hearing officer might have to make a decision. That's the cost of doing business, that's the cost of running government. That's not the type of thing that necessarily triggers a fiscal note. I think that talking about the probation, we have a fiscal note here from the probation department. It says the department is unable to predict with any accuracy the future action of judges. It's exactly the same for the department or public defender agency. We have no idea whether the judges will in fact give additional probation or not. And will one of those probationers violate their probation? who knows? That's not the type of thing that normally gets reflected in a fiscal note. Or if it's an indeterminate fiscal note, it's been sort of my policy, my understanding, going back to my time as chairman on finance, that it's a very definite, there will be cost we have no way of quantifying. It's not necessarily a question of will there be cost. There is going to be cost, we just can't calculate what it's going to be. And that cost is going to be beyond just the sort of normal implementation of a piece of legislation. I try and think of all the bills that I've passed that have had zero fiscal notes, but yet somebody's challenged them somewhere down the line. So should we have backed the system up and written a fiscal note on each one of those? I think that most of what's been enumerated here is so speculative, and where you can say, well, there's likely to be a cost, it really falls into that category of the cost of running government. So I disagree strongly with this fiscal note.
Thank you, Secretary. The maybe isn't something that I can quantify in terms of dollars. There may be challenges. There may be somebody who has these things happen. I don't know how I can quantify that either. And it's not been the position of this committee since I've been chair to speculate or to try to calculate the cost of a challenge to a provision that we've written into a bill. So I don't know how you'd even start with a dollar amount with that and try to calculate it. And many of the bills that we've passed out of this committee over the last 2 years, there could be lots of challenges to them. Everything from child support bills to crime bills. So I'm not willing to speculate on the cost of that either and trying to put it into a fiscal note. Senator French.
Thank you. I think it's worth pointing out that the bill authorizes longer sentences, and I would expect the Department of Law to argue for longer sentences in appropriate cases, and I would expect longer sentences to be imposed. So I think the strongest argument in favor of an indeterminate fiscal note would be that longer sentences will be imposed under this bill, and I think that is certainly worth pointing out.
And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I've been in the negotiating business for 35 years, and if I was negotiating on the cost of something and I knew that it could possibly cost me a whole lot more if I didn't negotiate hard to get a lower price, I'd negotiate a whole lot harder for a lower price. And so I'm wondering just if the opposite may be true in terms of the negotiation that goes on for between the attorneys on both sides for a plea bargain, and thereby reduce the cost to the court and to the public defender and to the district attorney's office. So there's arguable points on all of those sides that are speculative. It's not my intent to try to get into the speculative side, and that's why I have provided you with a copy of a fiscal note that I proposed that's from the Judiciary Committee that's a zero fiscal note. And I would like to, as we go forward, if we pass this bill out, to adopt that zero fiscal note from the department, from the committee. Senator Gretchen, guess. Did you have any comments?
No, I had the same observation that Senator French did. Just mathematically, when you keep the baseline the same, expand the upper range, it seems that of course you're going to get some. Even if you just got one, your average goes up of longer sentences. So it seems like there would be an impact on corrections, if nothing else. But I'm not there to look at the fiscal notes, and I'm tracking the conversation. And I hadn't thought about the plea bargaining.
Senator Toyo.
Mr. Chairman, the lay of the land with the recent court decision says that if you want to trigger any aggravators, there's an expense. There's going to be an expense with triggering them. We've imposed ranges now. So a judge, in order to impose a longer sentence, has a range. And if he lives within that range, you don't have to trigger that additional jury action in order to do that. So is that enough to offset what would have been, you know, higher ranges gotten to by going after the aggravators? Who knows? So you have to look at the complete basket. You know, what are you putting on one side of the scale and what are you taking off? Or, you know, how have we struck the balance here? And so we know that the current court cases have triggered action that are going to cost money. We're trying to mitigate that cost with passage of this legislation.
Good point.
And I think we've gone a long way to mitigating those costs. So you got to put that on the other side of the scale.
That's a good point, Senator.
Senator
Gregg, yes. I'm sorry, Gretchen.
Am I understanding Senator Chirio's point to be in totality it's a zero-sum, there's a good probability it's a zero-sum game. So some departments may see increases and some areas may see increases, but others may see decreases. Was that your point, Senator Chirio?
Yes, Senator, yes, that is. But I think that argument can be made for each one of the departments, too. I mean, if the court had to go after a longer sentence through going through the jury for an aggravator, you'd have the public defender sitting in the chair, you'd have the Department of Law prosecutor sitting in the chair. Everybody would potentially have additional costs.
You'd be impaneling a grand jury longer?
Yeah.
All the other expenses that go with that.
So it's how we've balanced the scales in totality, but you also have the same argument going on with each individual player in the system too, and have the scales remain balanced within their own department.
And if I may, Senator Sheikins, and Senator Cherry, you believe that would be the case with corrections as well? That's the one department that it's difficult to get my head around how it would balance out.
I think it probably would, and we have Ms. Parker here from the Department of Corrections. She can speak to the 2-0 fiscal notes that we have from the Department of Corrections if you have questions. But they obviously have gone through that exercise to try and figure out, you know, what the impacts are on their department. And for the two divisions in the Department of Corrections, we've got 0 fiscal notes.
Okay. My apologies. I'm not there to look at the fiscal notes, so I didn't know what they said.
I'm not willing to say that because we allow judges to give a wider range that they'll begin giving inappropriate sentences. I think that our judiciary also understands not only the necessity to properly deal out the punishments for the crime, but also understands the fiscal situation of the state of Alaska. So I'm not willing to say that we just have a judiciary out there that's waiting to impose longer sentences the minute we allow it. Senator Terrio.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In addition, of course, we've passed the letter of intent, and mind you, it's just letter of intent, where we've indicated to the court we don't expect, nor is this legislation supposed to cause, a jump up across the board in sentences. We also had some testimony here in committee that some judges have made statements in the past that I really think this should only get 5 years, but the legislature has imposed a minimum sentence, and so I have to give it at least that. But you know, there's some indication that the judiciary would like to keep some of the sentencing down. So, so much of this then just quickly go into the realm of complete speculation. Those are the type of things that the departments always have to deal with in trying to figure out what the fiscal impact is. And of the 5 fiscal notes that we've got here, 4 of them are zeros from the departments.
Senator French.
Don't mistake my remarks about the fiscal note to be a reflection of how I feel about the bill. I think the bill's a good piece of work, and I'm behind it. I go back to the example that I drew from in my own personal experience. If that judge had the opportunity to impose some probation time on the 4 young men that stomped a young boy into brain damage, he would have, and he should have. And I would have argued for it, and I think I would have gotten it. And this bill allows him that discretion, and I think it's a good thing. But there are increased costs with putting 4 people in jail longer or on supervised probation longer. and I just think that's a reality. I'm not opposed to that expense either. I would support that. I just think you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I will. I think there are offsetting numbers for each department. You're going to see some offsetting numbers one way or the other. But I think the final sentence of our letter of intent is what we're looking at for the judiciary, at least, and that is, rather, the bill is intended to give judges the authority to impose an appropriate sentence with an appropriate amount of probation supervision by taking into account the considerations that are set out in AS 12-5505 and 12-5501-015. Further discussion on the bill? Intent of the committee, Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the judiciary CS for the Public Defenders Agency be adopted.
As amended?
The new judiciary version.
Okay. For the fiscal note?
Yes.
Is there objection? Seeing none, that fiscal note is adopted. Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the judiciary CS of House Bill 56 from committee with the 5-0 fiscal notes and the attached letter of intent.
As amended today?
Yes.
Is there objection?
Just for the moment.
Senator French.
Just for the moment, just for the purpose of one more piece of discussion, because this point came up in my discussion with two members yesterday, and I wanted to get an answer to that if I could before I move the bill out. I'm in favor of the bill going out.
Senator French.
But I just want to, I reread Blakely this morning after having this discussion with two members yesterday, and the question came up, you know, does Blakely require these ranges? And I think the answer is no. I think we've sort of picked the right solution to Blakely, which is not rigid determinate sentence, which is not wide open sentencing. It's a range of sentences. But I guess I just wanted to ask the Department of Law whether they agree that whether or not, because people ask me, you know, do we have to pick the solution? And I said, I don't think we do, but I think it's a good solution. I guess I just want to know from the department whether they agree that whether or not Blakely requires these ranges.
Ms. Parks, if you'd put yourself on the record for us this morning, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here. Susan Parks, Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Division. Senator French, through the chair, that's exactly right. Blakely does not require this particular solution. There were lots of options that were discussed with legislators within our department. There were discussions about a top-down approach, for example, where we just set really high sentences and all we do is mitigate down. That would comply with Blakely. Wide open sentencing. So there is a range, I think, as Senator Terrio was just talking about. In working on this bill, we were looking for a balance, something that would maintain what we think are the best pieces of what we've currently got while operating within the legal constraints of Blakely.
Thank you.
Any other questions, discussion?
As I recall, you said it was modeled after Kansas. Is that correct?
Well, Senator Huggins, through the chair, it is similar to the Kansas model. Ms. Brinkhead referenced the Kansas model. The seminar we attended with the Vera Sentencing Institute, we had a presentation about Kansas. Kansas is the only state that had already gone to jury findings of aggravators, but they have sentencing ranges, much like we're adopting.
Any further discussion on the motion now to adopt CS for Senate Bill 56 as amended with 5-0 fiscal notes? Seeing none, hearing none, is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is passed from committee to the next committee with the individual recommendations, and we'll take a brief recess while we get ready for the next bill. Call the meeting back to order. We're now looking at Senate Bill number 19, and we have distributed to the members a CS here for Senate Bill 19. With the working draft is / G for George, I would submit that as our working document. Is there objection? Hearing none. As we left this yesterday, we were looking in the definition of low-income individual, and you'll notice on the bottom it means an individual with an income equal to or less than the maximum income levels for Alaska determined by the Legal Services Corporation. It references 42 U.S.C. 2996B. So that gives a floating definition so that they can always have a reference point. Other than that, we did not look at an effective date. This bill may be one that we just allow to become effective 90 days after it's in effect. And we did not address the question of how the funds would be distributed. We do know that it goes to the Finance Committee from this committee, and felt that it might be appropriate and save everybody a lot of time and effort and revisions downstream if we allowed the Finance Committee to determine how that would happen. Is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 19? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, let me make sure I got this straight. This creates a mechanism but doesn't make it mandatory for funding, nor does it imply that it has to be funded or anything greater than that. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay.
This only is funding that may go to them out of the 50% of the receipts from punitive damages that go to the state. Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, look, I don't think you need an immediate effective date, as long as think the bill is going to be successful in the system and signed into law so that it takes effect by the first day of the new
fiscal year.
And I would ask that, I guess, you work with the co-chairs, and particularly both co-chairs of finance, to make sure that the language, and it'll just have to be broad verbiage that says any dollar amount coming in from those settlements will be set aside into this fund.
Right.
Now, we won't be using this fund, or I wouldn't anticipate they'd use this fund as a funding source in the 06 fiscal year, but rather would collect up the money to be used in the 07 year.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I think, too, Senator Terry, probably the way it's going to go, but I did just briefly mention it to one of the co-chairs of finance that I would not try to increase their workload, but that felt that they had better expertise in how to craft that section on how to accumulate and distribute the money. Is there any further discussion?
I'm sure that the engrosser or some person will at some point put sub-parentheses on
B.
B.
I saw that too just now.
It's got to be. Otherwise, I think it's ready to go.
Okay. I agree with that. We'll probably have to put the parens around sub-paragraph B there in the last reference. But Senator Guest, any input?
No, I would agree with everyone else.
Okay. This what's the will of the committee on Senate Bill 19? Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for Senate Bill 19, Judiciary CS, /G, be passed from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved from committee to the next committee of reference. In way of announcements, next week we're trying to fill our calendar. On Tuesday, we will have a review of the Department of Law and the Attorney General. That will be probably take most of our time on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we will know by the end of the day. We're working with Senator Dyson's office to see if his bill on constitutional amendment on what we call it spending limitation is ready to be heard or not. And at this point, we believe that it may be, so we will probably notice that bill for Wednesday, and I think it'll carry over into Thursday as well. So that should pretty much fill our calendar next week. Senator Guest, thank you for being with us by teleconference. We appreciate your input.
Thank you.
And with that, this committee is adjourned.